Claire, for now, we'll leave it there. But thank you very much indeed for that. There's Claire Hamilton. Let's talk to Dr. Angela Obasi, who's a senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Dr. Angela, good to talk to you again. Let me just get your reaction on the latest news from the government with these new restrictions that will come in from Monday.
Hi, thanks for having me back. So I looked at this news and I thought, I'm not surprised in a way, because if you think about what's the biggest thing that's happened, the kids have gone back to school recently, haven't they? And there's been a lot of change in terms of how people are socialising relating to that. And so you would expect an uptick in the number of cases. And I think we've talked about that before, haven't we? I looked at the data, particularly for Liverpool, prior to this call, and the number of new cases is amongst the younger groups, which again makes me feel a little less anxious because, again, as we've said before, the people who are most vulnerable are the elderly. In a situation like this, what we're aiming for is to decrease the number of new cases so that we can eventually get to a point where we're eradicating infection. And I know that people are now familiar with the R0, which is the reproductive rate, the number of new cases that any one infection will generate. And that R0 depends on a number of things. And one of the key drivers is the number of new contacts that new infection comes into contact with. So these kinds of restrictions are what you would expect with the uptick that we've seen. And of course, not only has there been the change in behaviour with students going back to university, kids going back to school, we're doing more testing.
We are bound to find more. It's been pointed out that new cases don't necessarily mean new deaths. I mean, we know that from the figures. And I think it can be worrying sometimes when people see these figures. And of course, it is extremely important that we keep these figures down. But new cases do not mean new deaths.
Absolutely, and especially in this circumstance where the new cases are being identified in groups that are less vulnerable. I know from my clinical colleagues who are on the wards that we're not seeing anything like the number of new clinical cases. People are ill. Because that's the other thing, is that the language around COVID we've got to be really careful of, because there's a case, that's somebody who's infected. That's not the same as somebody who's ill, who's a clinical case. And that's also, again, not the same as somebody who dies. Do you see what I mean?
When we talk about
the word case, we use it interchangeably. We need to be careful about that, because, as you say, this is not about new deaths. It's not even really about large numbers of new people being ill. It's about people being positive.
And I think the worry for the government, obviously, is vulnerable members of the community, older people as well. But waiting in the wings, we've got the flu virus there with his arms folded saying, remember me, I'll be coming to see you soon. And when you combine these two, this is a worry, isn't it?
The flu virus,
yeah.
We don't know. There's a lot that we don't know.
But we can't take a chance, can we? We can't take a chance with this.
Well, I think what we are doing, which is driving the new regulations that will be coming in, is erring on the side of caution. And I think that is the smart move. I do think that is the smart move. Because, again, it's not just about the cases, i.e. people who are positive, who a large number of whom will not be ill. It is about the disruption. The longer this epidemic continues, the longer the disruption. And I feel that I'm quite supportive of this step, because it's the step that's needed to try and bring this whole period in our lives. I think a lot of your listeners will just be longing for the end, longing for things to get back to normal. And I think these additional steps are a means by which we can accelerate that process.
I want to talk to you just briefly about the vaccine in a second, but can I just ask you this? Do you think we've relaxed a little bit too much now? We've let our guard down and we've allowed COVID-19 back in our lives?
I think it's difficult to say. You know, what people have done, you know, the people who make policy, the people who make these decisions, they've worked on the best evidence that we've had available. And I think I've said this to you before, we're in uncharted territory. And I think that what we have to do is deal with, you know, the situation in front of us. And there was decisions that had to be taken. Do the kids go back to school or not? And that decision was largely driven by the epidemiology, i.e. children, you know, are the least vulnerable. And the best evidence we have is that they are not the main vectors. They're not the main people who are transmitting. And it's those kinds of, you know, step-by-step choices that need to be made. And now this is another one where we're just going to, you know, pull the restrictions back in.
Okay. The vaccine. Finally, we've seen this morning a trial of a coronavirus vaccine developed by Oxford University and AstraZeneca. It's been on pause, this, isn't it, worldwide, after a UK volunteer fell ill. Is this the same trial that people from Merseyside took part in?
So no, I don't believe it is the same one. I'm not entirely sure, though. You know, because I'm not running that. Have you had my colleague Professor Daniela Ferrer on?
We have in the past, but not recently. She's the person.
She would be the person
that
who would know. But what I would say is that a pause like this in a trial gives me confidence in how well the trial is being run. You know, this is why we do these studies, to see what the side effects are. I know that there's a lot of pressure to roll these vaccines out, but we've got to be sure, A, that they work, and B, that there are no unforeseen side effects.
Well, that's the whole point of the trial, isn't it? Of course
exactly.
It is. Angela, we're out of time, but as ever, thank you very much indeed for your expertise on the programme this morning. And it's very helpful. Thank you. Dr. Angela Obasi is a senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. I've seen in our house, Minty, the hand gels. We were going through the hand gels at a rate of knots. Every time somebody passed the sink, gel, gel.
Up. Gel. Yep.